your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won. And won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Monday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, April 12th, 2021. Your boy Q here with you as always, prepared to start another week as we count down the days until the NFL draft. Again, April 29th through May 1st. It's going down in Cleveland, Ohio. Very excited about the draft, man. The draft is a fun time of year anyway, just the anticipation. But yeah, man, getting closer and closer to the NFL draft. Very excited about that. Got a big show for you today. Got a big show for you every single day. And I want to let you know that today's episode is being brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order just like that. LOCK15 to get 15% off your order. Coming up in segment number 3, calls and texts. Straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Segment number 2, going to talk about make or break years. I got a couple Raiders that I want to bring to the table in segment number 3 that could potentially be in a make or break year. And really, this idea came from Adam Schein from NFL.com. He actually put out a piece, and he was doing just 9 guys in general throughout the league that are in make or break years, and one of the Raiders appeared on it. And so it got me to thinking, like, wait a minute, because the guy he has on the list, I thought, okay, he could be potentially in a make or break year, but I think there's other Raiders on that on the squad right now that are in bigger make or break years as opposed to the guy that he picked. So I'll explain all that in segment number 2, and I'll give you 3 guys that I believe are make or break years for the Raiders, and I'll explain each one of them. So that's coming up in segment number 2. Here in segment number 1, as I do on the daily, give you the news and the notes either of the day or collected over the weekend, and this is just collected over the weekend. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Biggest news collected over the weekend actually came on Friday when former Raiders safety Carl Joseph decided to return to the silver and black. He is back. I had mentioned on Friday's show that he was visiting with the Raiders on Thursday and Friday, and I thought he was just doing a little bit of a, you know, fact finding and doing a little bit of gathering of information and was going to decide on what team he eventually wanted to sign with. I didn't think it was going to happen quick, fast, and hurry, but it did exactly that. I was doing my radio show on Friday on Fox Sports Central Texas. All of a sudden got an email and alert from the Raiders saying that Carl Joseph had agreed to terms with the team, and I was like, dang, okay, that was really, really quickly. And then to double down on that, not only did he agree to terms, but all of a sudden they put him in a press conference as well. I mean, he immediately signed and then went to the presser, and I got that alert on my phone too, and of course I was on the radio at that time, so I wasn't able to check it out, but I did check it out later that day. So I do want to bring you a few little sound bites that stood out to me from Carl Joseph's press conference as he made his return with the Raiders. He was a first round draft pick in 2016. In 2020, he played with the Cleveland Browns, and it's funny because it seems like he's been gone more than 1 year, but he was actually only gone 1 year. So now Carl Joseph makes his return. So the first soundbite that I want you to hear was just him talking about what made him want to return to the Raiders.
Oh, man, well, first off, I never wanted to leave. I think this is my home. I was drafted here. I feel like I was born to be a Raider. So came, got the opportunity to spoke to Coach Gruden, man, and I knew I had to come take a visit and just sit down and talk to him. And we spoke for a while yesterday, and it felt right. You know, I took some time to think it over and talk to my family about it, and it just felt right. Felt like the right decision to come back, man, and help finish what I started here, man, and be a part of that and come do whatever I can to help the team win.
So there's Carl Joseph talking about why he wanted to return to the Raiders, why he made the decision to return to the Raiders, and you hear him off top say, I never wanted to leave, you know, and we all knew that was the situation, and not necessarily that he never wanted to leave, but with the Raiders allowed him to test free agency. That's what they did. I mean, he wasn't a guy that overwhelmed them with great play. A lot of people say the Raiders use him incorrectly. That's fine, but he also, you know, some of that's on him as well. You know, he wasn't playing the best ball all the time, and look, I don't think that this solves the Raiders' issues at safety. I think this adds a nice piece for depth, and you'll actually hear why in a little bit. But, I mean, this is it's a good addition. Again, it's not going to solve all the issues that the Raiders have at the safety position. It's not going to stop them from drafting a young safety, that's for sure. This is just going to be a depth piece. But all in all, Carl Joseph didn't want to leave the Raiders. He's back with the Raiders. He's happy to be back. And that's good because, you know, you hear all the time about players that can't wait to leave. And so it's good to hear about a player that actually is excited to be back. So Carl Joseph was also asked about if he had discussed with the coaches what his role on the team might be.
Yeah, we spoke about it. you know, roles change. But my focus right now is just come in and do my best and whatever is asked of me to help the team win. Obviously, Coach Gruden and Mike Mayock have been building a real good team. And I've been paying close attention to that while the year I was gone. All the pieces are there. I think we're ready to win. And so whatever I'm going to need to do to help us win, that's what I'm going to do.
Now, you heard me when I said that I thought this was just a depth signing, and I still believe that. And that answer right there kind of made me really solidify my thoughts and beliefs already, even though, I mean, just I think your in general football fan knows that Carl Joseph is not going to be the return of Earl Thomas or something. You know what I mean? It's not like he's just some big ball hawk in safety. But I think the question was posed to him to ask if he was going to play free safety, because that's where a lot of people believe that he should be playing anyway instead of playing strong safety. But that's not how he answered it. He answered it more of like roles change, meaning starters or guys that are coming in to compete for a spot, or, you know, guys that are just going to play a different role on the team or provide depth. And so that's really what he's going to be, is a depth piece. He'll be a guy that provides more depth to the team and really just contribute in any way, shape, or form that he can. And so he's also asked about if he's seen some improvements from some of the guys on the team that he played with in Oakland. I thought this was a pretty interesting answer as well, especially when he starts talking about Jonathan Abram.
I mean, obviously, man, when you talk about that, knowing where can we even start, you know, that goes to part of the reason why I want to come back, because I know this team is built to win and ready to win and take that next step for a championship. So I wanted to come be a part of it. You know, obviously, you guys know Derek Carr starts with him. He's the leader of this team, and I think we all believe in him. I think the coaches believe with him. You know, Josh Jacobs speak for himself, Darren Waller, Colton, and all those guys, man. And on the defensive side, man, you know, Max and Cleland and all those guys, man, they improved a lot since their rookie year when I was here. And Jonathan Abram, you know, we played one game together his rookie year. Went down, unfortunately, man. So I'm looking forward to going back out there and competing with him and, you know, helping each push each other to be our best self, man. So I'm excited to play with all those guys.
So the part about Jonathan Abram and competing with him and pushing each other to be the best selves they can be. So basically, it sounds like he's going to be Jonathan Abram's backup. That's what it kind of sounds like to me. He's going to probably play a bigger role as Jonathan Abram's backup, which means that if Jonathan Abram is out there freelancing and he's not doing what he's supposed to do like he was a lot in 2020 and just out of position, instead of, you know, Gus Bradley leading him in there, Gus Bradley's going to go and say, hey, Carl Joseph, you get out there. You got to go out there and do it. Abram, you come stand next to me. Something that Paul Gunther should have done with Jonathan Abram multiple times when he was out there doing the wrong thing. And that's something that has been said about Gus Bradley, is that's the kind of guy he is. If you're not doing your job like you're supposed to be, then he's going to pull you out the game and put someone else in there that will. To me, it sounds like Carl Joseph is going to be that guy, and he's going to actually be competing with Jonathan Abram, make Jonathan Abram earn that spot. And I'm okay with that. I'm absolutely okay with that. A couple more sound bites for you real quick. Carl Joseph was asked if he feels like he fits into what Coach Bradley wants from him and from his safeties.
Yeah, I think so. We had a good long talk yesterday, man. I have a lot of respect for Coach Gus. Very smart dude, obviously proven in this league and been successful, know what he's doing. So I'm excited to be a part of it and playing his defense, man. And, you know, I played in a similar defense in Cleveland, so it won't be too much change for me. I think I'll be able to grasp everything pretty quickly. But I'm excited to work with him and learn from him.
So everything he's saying all the right things. Sounds like he's very excited to be returning to the Raiders. Sounds like he's excited about this defense and being part of it, and believes that the team is close. You know, he mentioned it multiple times in his presser that he feels like the team is close and he's going to do everything he can to help the team win. Now, I'm mentioning how I think his role is going to be. Of course, it's all going to shake out in the draft as well. See what the Raiders do in the draft. See when they address the safety position and who they address that safety position with. That will also depend on what Carl Joseph does moving forward. And I'm sure that he understands that as well. Going back to one of his earlier previous sound bites where he said roles change. Remember when he was drafted, he was a starter. You knew he was a starter the minute he was drafted. Now he's going to have to earn his stripes. But either way you look at it, he's still excited to be back with the Raiders. And I think that's really, really cool. My final sound bite I have for you, I think is really probably the most important one. And this is just Carl Joseph talking about Raider Nation in general. Thought this was a great answer from him. Check it out.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, I was in Oakland. I experienced that. I know there's nothing like Raider Nation, man. I got an opportunity to play with Cleveland last year. And, you know, they have a serious fan base over there, too. You know, very loyal. And I think Raider Nation is by far one if not the best, a fan base in this league, man. And you know, being able to go away for 1 year and experience something else and coming back to it, I know I'm going to appreciate it a lot more. And I'm excited to see what Vegas has to offer and what the fans here are going to be. And I know they're going to be excited, man. Hopefully we can have a full stadium this upcoming year and so we can really feel the energy.
So there's Carl Joseph just talking about the fan base in general. And, of course, Cleveland, man, the Browns, they do have a very passionate fan base. But I love how he said, hey, Raider Nation and the Raiders, they have one, if not the best, fan base, you know, in sports and everything. And that's cool, man, when you're a guy that goes to another team and then comes back and he says, hey, you know, I'll appreciate it even more since I didn't have it last year. And then he talks about, hopefully, you know, the stadium could be full so we could feel that energy. And that actually leads me into my next little nugget that I have for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. And that's the fact that Allegiant Stadium is expected to be at 100% capacity in 2021. MGM Resorts president and CEO Bill Hornbuckle said on Saturday that the company is working with the governor of Nevada to open Allegiant Stadium at full capacity. He said, I know that this fall we'll have a full stadium for the Raiders. I'm hoping by July 4th weekend, the community is in a place where we could just do what we normally do and have some fun. If Allegiant Stadium gets the green light to operate at full capacity by July, the first major event at the stadium's calendar is a Garth Brooks concert on July 10th. That concert was originally scheduled for February 2020 and sold out to 65,000 seats within 75 minutes. Raiders president Mark Bedain said he shares Hornbuckle's optimism, said the club will adhere to the recommendations of state leaders. Say we'll listen to the authorities on that and the medical community. Obviously, everybody wants to get back to live events both in Las Vegas and around the world. There it is right there. Looks like it's a done deal. They're trying to obviously get it opened up by July 4th just so they can have their other events prior to that. But as far as the football season goes, looks like Raider Nation will be able to pack out Allegiant Stadium. That will be awesome. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, who is it a make or break year for? I got three guys that I want to bring to the table. One guy was suggested in an article, a piece on NFL.com by Adam Schein, and two other guys are who I'm actually bringing to the table and want to talk about myself. So that's all coming up in segment number two. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about betonline.ag. And, of course, college basketball just ended. That was a great season, but the NBA still going on. Of course, you got baseball going on. There's always UFC action going on. There's always something that's going on that you can get your bet on with. I mean, you could even bet on WrestleMania. I'm not a wrestling guy. I'm not a fan of wrestling, but I know WrestleMania is huge, and I know that was a big thing that everyone was watching on Sunday night. So you could get your bet on with WrestleMania. I don't know how you quite do that when it's already kind of, I don't know. I don't even want to get into what wrestling is because people get mad at me, but it is what it is. Either way you look at it, man, betonline.ag, they're your online sportsbook experts. They can help you with any sport, get you off the sidelines, and actually get you into the action. You want a piece of the pie? All you got to do, betonline.ag, open up a free account today, and when you make your first deposit, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus just like that. So you put $200 in, you'll get an extra $100 on top of it if you use the promo code LOCKEDON to get, to get that 50% welcome bonus. So just like that, man, extra money to play with just by using the promo code Locked On. So again, betonline.ag. If you're on social media, it's at betonline_ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Again, betonline.ag. Segment number two, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to talk about who's in a make or break year. And this is not something that just all of a sudden popped into my head and I decided I wanted to talk about it. Adam Schein from NFL.com, he actually had put out a piece that was saying like nine guys throughout the course of the league, throughout the NFL, who was in a make or break year. And so this is where I kind of got the inspiration because a Raider ended up on his list. And so I'll tell you what Raider it was. I'll tell you what he said about him. And then we'll go from there. So that's how this whole little segment came about. But sometimes I'll see something, I'll read something, and it'll make me want to talk about it. So Adam Schein from NFL.com said Clee Ferrell was in a make or break year. And what he wrote about Clee was this was between a reach and a gamble when John Gruden and Mike Mayock made the whoa pick of the 2019 draft, taking Ferrell at number four overall. The defensive end followed up his pedestrian at best rookie season with an invisible 2020 campaign. He said, this cat was a consensus All-American and the ACC Defensive Player of the Year at Clemson. There's talent here somewhere. The Raiders need to see it pronto. With a defense that finished last season at 30th in points allowed and 29th in sacks, Ferrell had just two sacks himself over 11 starts in 2020 in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. The Raiders must get after opposing quarterbacks. That's his piece on Clee Ferrell, and he's not wrong about that last line right there. You know, in a division with Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, whoever the Broncos go and get in the draft, I mean, you've got to be able to get to the quarterback, and that's a no-brainer. I think we all know that. Clee Ferrell, 15 games as a rookie, had 4.5 sacks. 11 games in 2020, had 2 sacks. So total for his career, 26 total games, 59 tackles, 6.5 total sacks. Now, again, the biggest piece of this, I guess, is the number 4 overall pick, of course, you know, because that is where you go. And if you pick someone at number 4, the expectations are going to be sky high. Even look at Henry Ruggs. He was picked at number 12, and the expectations are sky high for him. So, you know, I understand where he's coming from. But I also look at even that same draft and say, wait a minute, there's other dudes that I think need to prove more than even Clee does. I do think Clee needs to continue to improve. I think he did improve and kind of show you exactly who he could be. One of the main things he's got to do, though, is be able to stay on the field. You know, he played 15 games as a rookie. He only played 11 games in his second year in 2020. He had COVID. He was dealing with all kinds of issues. And so, you know, only was able to play in 11 games. He's got to find a way to put in a full 16. That has been one of the biggest issues with a lot of the draft picks that the Raiders picked. I mean, think about Clee Ferrell. He's missed time. Josh Jacobs missed time. Jonathan Abram missed time. I mean, there's guys that have, and when I say missed time, I'm not saying one game here, one game there. I'm talking 3 games here, 3 games there, whatever. I mean, I'm talking some quality time that they're missing that they've got to be able to, you know, they got to be able to hold it down. So let's go back to that 2019 draft. I think Clee Ferrell is a guy that needs to step up and continue to get better. I think he did some really good things against the run. I know, though, when you're drafted number 4 overall and you're a defensive end, you're going to be judged by how many sacks you get, and that's what everyone's going to look at. And he does need to do better than 2 sacks. He only had 2 sacks in 11 games in 2020. He's got to do better than that. He's got to average. I think he should average around, you know, 5, 6, 7 sacks a season. He really probably should be no less than 7 sacks a season, especially given the position where he was drafted number 4 overall. I don't know if that's going to happen, but he's just got to continue to play better and he's got to step his game up and stay on the field. So that's fine. I'm not going to say that Adam Schein was completely wrong, but I look in that same draft and I say, well, what about Jonathan Abram? What about Jonathan Abram, the safety, who was picked at, what, 28 overall that same draft? And I know that it was at the back end of the first round. But, I mean, he played in one game in 2019, his rookie year, 5 total tackles. And then in 2020, 13 games, 85 total tackles, 6 passes defense, and 2 interceptions. But you saw how much he missed and how much he played, like, bad and out of position and just wasn't doing what he was supposed to do and had brain-dead moments where, you know, it cost Raiders games, just like against the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, that second game at Allegiant Stadium, man, they should have won that game against the Chiefs, and they found a way collectively, the defense found a way to collapse and let Travis Kelce in the end zone all by himself. And I guess I don't have to really relive that one, but that one stands out to me the most. But Jonathan Abram was really, he was all over the place. And I remember heading into 2020, I kept saying, Jonathan Abram's going to have a lot of rookie mistakes because he didn't have a rookie year. He only played in half a game as a rookie, so he's going to make a lot of rookie mistakes. Well, he did that, and I think that this upcoming year, 2021, is going to be huge for him. And you can't just say, well, you know, he's only going to be like a second-year guy now instead of a third-year guy. It doesn't matter because his contract says he's a third-year guy. So pretty soon, the Raiders are going to have to make a decision on if they're going to pick up the fifth-year option on him and Clee. Now, we're assuming that they're going to pick up the fifth-year option on Josh Jacobs just based off what he's been able to do his first 2 years. But then again, you know, the running back position is so disrespected in the league, you never know. But I'm just assuming that they'd pick up the fifth-year option on Josh Jacobs when it comes time to make that call. But Jonathan Abram and Clee Ferrell, those guys, they both are going to have a decision made. But Jonathan Abram right now, if they had to make the decision right now, I would say they would say no. They haven't seen enough from him. They haven't seen enough good production from him yet. I mean, he just really hasn't. He's been a disappointment. He's talked a big game. He walks like he's the man. You know, he gets his strut on out there. You know, everyone thinks that he's going to be the dude, but he hasn't been the dude yet. You know, I think this year is a bigger make or break year for Jonathan Abram than it is for Clee Ferrell. But either way, they're both, you know, it's from the same draft class, 2019. So those are two guys that stand out to me in a major way. And then the third one, the last one I'm going to talk about, is a guy who's not a Raider draft pick, but a guy who was a Raider free agent just a year ago, and that's linebacker Corey Littleton. I think Corey Littleton has a lot to prove. I think Corey Littleton needs to come out and play this year and prove that Paul Gunther was the issue on why he played as poorly as he did with the Raiders in 2020. Now, he played in 14 games, had 75 tackles, 0 sacks, 0 passes defense, and 0 interceptions. Think about this. His 2019 year with the Rams, 16 games, 124 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 9 passes defense, and 2 interceptions. So he did a whole lot of production, had a whole lot of production in 2019, and very little production with the Raiders in 2020. And I know he missed some time due to COVID as well. But he's got to come out and prove. And this is part of Gus Bradley's job. And I'm sure during the interview, when John Gruden had him sat down, was like, hey, can you fix Corey Littleton? Can you make him not be out there thinking and just go out there and perform like he did with the Rams? And if his answer was yes, well, then we'll see that this year. We'll see it with his play on the field. He's got to be that guy. He's got to end up being one of the alpha dogs on the field. And I know he's not a very vocal guy, but he's got to do it with his play. He's got to go out there and show why they gave him that big free agent contract. He really, really does. Again, 75 tackles, 0 sacks, 0 pass defense, and no interceptions. That's not going to work. That's not going to work at all. He's got to get to the quarterback a couple times, and he's really got to knock some balls down and pick a couple off. You know, he's got to create a couple turnovers, but he had 9 passes defense in 2019 with the Rams. And I know the Rams have a better defense than the Raiders, absolutely. But this guy was brought over from that Rams team to help make this Raiders defense a lot better. So I'm going to give him a break where I'm not just kind of blaming everything on him, because I do think a lot of it had to do with Paul Gunther and the scheme that he was running, and he made Corey Littleton and others go out there and think way too much. But again, you still got a lot of pressure on the player itself. The player, you've got to say, hey, you've got to be able to step your game up. You know, there's a reason why you're getting the checks that you're getting. There's a reason why they brought you in as a free agent. Now you've got to go and reward their paycheck with some stellar play. You know, I've been talking about the Raiders going and getting an alpha dog and a difference maker like a Micah Parsons or a Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. You know, and part of the reason why I'm saying that is because Corey Littleton was a disappointment in 2019. So I still think that the linebacker position gets addressed in this upcoming draft. I think that a lot of people, including myself, would like Micah Parsons or Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I do realize that with Koramoah, though, they've got to know exactly how they're going to use him. And the one thing about I like the Carl Joseph signing is I think Gus Bradley had to sign off on it and say, yeah, this guy can fit in what I need him to do. I can see how I can use this guy and make him work. So I think that Gus Bradley is having I don't want to say a lot of say, because we all know that it starts and ends with John Gruden, but I think he's having say on who's going to be part of his defense. And, you know, he's helping pick out the groceries so he can create the dinner. You know what I mean? So that's a good thing. If he's a part of the personnel gathering situation, then you would expect the defense to play a lot better. So that's who I got for you for make or break year guys with the Raiders. Now, I could have said a guy like Mo Hurst, but I think he's already broke. I don't think he has a chance to make or break. He's going into a contract year. He's regressed in my opinion the last couple seasons. I know he gives good effort, but the numbers just aren't there, and the number amount of impact plays just aren't there. Arden Key, I think he's already broke. You know, he's also going into a contract year, and I'd be surprised if he even makes the team, especially with all the defensive line help that they brought in. The Raiders brought in on 1-year deals or 2-year deals. I think that Arden Key's already cooked. So I was thinking about those two guys as well. But like I said, I think that they're done deals. So I'd love your feedback on it, though. 707-654-4693. That's the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. You can leave a message or a text message and give me your thoughts on it as well. 707-654-4693. Matter of fact, your calls and texts are coming up next here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is a great tasting protein bar. I've been telling you about it for a very, very long time. They've got so many flavors to choose from. You just got to go to the website and check them out. A lot of times I start running off different flavors to you, but they've got so many new ones to choose from. You just got to go check it out. Go to BuiltBar.com and see for yourself. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're softer, easy to chew. They're great for the health conscious man or woman. You can lose or maintain weight while you're enjoying a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they're great for the keto diet. So again, man, it's very rare that you get a protein bar that also tastes great at the same time. Well, Built Bar does just that. So go ahead and check them out on the website, BuiltBar.com. When you decide what you want, you get a box. You can get a bunch of different flavors in one if you want, or you can get just one flavor if you want. It doesn't matter. But either way, when you get ready to check out, make sure you use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order just like that. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com. Segment number 3, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team
every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. Got a lot to get to, so let's go ahead and hop right into it. First of all, got a text from the good doc. It says, hey, Brother Q, it's the good doc here repping Canada one time. It's been a minute since I called or text. I was thinking about the Raiders safety play as I read about Carl Joseph visiting Henderson on Thursday. First of all, I'd welcome nearly any serviceable veteran defensive back to this team with open arms. Beyond injuries, youth and inexperience have been a major issue over the last couple years. The Raiders secondary lacks that veteran leadership that could help groom some of these young cats on and off the field. I'd really like to see Casey Hayward in the slot, but that's a conversation for another day. My main thoughts today are about John Abram. No doubt the bonehead penalties need to be cleaned up. Passion is great, but there's a thin line between passion and stupidity, and Abram's been dancing on that line. That said, I'm still very hopeful that we see growth under new coaching. I don't expect Gus Bradley to turn Abram into an all-pro safety immediately, but as you've repeatedly said on the show, it's time to stop trying to fit square pegs into round holes. Abram was drafted to be a box safety. He's very athletic, but he was not drafted because of his ability to play in the post. So from the moment Pauly G said that safeties were going to be interchangeable, I knew we were screwed. As I see it, it's only reasonable to do that if you have the right personnel. It doesn't make sense to expect great deep safety play from a strong safety who lacks discipline. So at this point, my grade for Abram is a solid incomplete. Moving primarily into cover three, we should see Abram with plenty of opportunities to stay closer to the line of scrimmage. From this alone, I expect improvement. No excuses, though. He has a lot to clean up. But I want to see him play the role that made him worthy of first-round pick before I judge too harshly. I'm hoping for a big season, but like our boy said, show and prove. Thanks for all that you do, Q. Looking forward to one day hearing you as regular live from Vegas. Good doc out. And a very lengthy text, my man, but I appreciate it. Lots of good stuff there. And yeah, Jonathan Abram, he's a guy that I talked about quite a bit in segment number two. He's going to have to play a lot better. And hopefully Gus Bradley can figure out exactly how to use him to his strengths. Let's put it like that. What he does well, let him do that well. Don't try to make him do something that he just does not do. And look, Carl Joseph, I mean, he's going to push Jonathan Abram. He's going to make Jonathan Abram earn that starting position. I think the best thing about the Carl Joseph signing is if Jonathan Abram starts to do, like you said, start dancing on that line of bonehead and you know, passion and all that other stuff, but it's not playing out on the field, it's not looking good on the field, Carl Joseph could push him and Jonathan Abram could actually be pulled off the field and Carl Joseph can be put in there. Because again, this is a dude who plays really aggressively and is a strong dude and is a guy who likes to be physical and up there, you know, around the line of scrimmage as well. He's more of a strong safety than he is a free safety. So the Raiders still have issues at the safety position, even after the signing of Carl Joseph. Next up is a call from Ivan from Oakland. He's calling to talk about my pick I made at 17 with the Locked On NFL draft and why he liked it. And then also the only other guys he would like to draft that aren't named Christian Darrisaw. Here he is, Ivan from Oakland.
Hello, this is ABA Ivan Davis. Just wanted to talk regarding your draft choices, why I think that's a superb pick at number 17. If I remember right, Colton Miller is a natural right tackle coming out of college. So, and the pick that you're talking about, he's a natural left tackle. So you could get away with moving Colton Miller to the right. And if his only success, if he can't adapt to the right side, you can still move that pick to the left and you should be okay. Both players will be at their natural position. However, I would train him on the right side, and if he can get that, then now you got two people that can play on either side of the ends to protect Derek Carr. And so, I absolutely love that pick. The exception to the rule with that pick would be, I would think about the linebacker, but I personally think that in this defense, Littleton is going to do what he's supposed to do. The Raiders played him out of position. So I don't think we're going to go with that linebacker. The exception to the rule would be Surtain. Definitely. I mean, I'd trade whoever I had to off the Raiders to get him on there. And the wide receiver. It wouldn't matter what our wide receiver room looked like. We get that wide receiver with him and Ruggs, and that would be just, we would be unstoppable. But the odds of them falling all the way down to 17, unlikely. We would have to trade up to get them. And I wouldn't do that. And so, and if that scenario did happen, do one of them fail, then that's when you take second round, third round pick, maybe see if we can trade up a little bit and grab the best available offensive lineman, which in this draft is going to be deep. And it's probably one of the deepest drafts for linemen, period, in the last 10, 15 years. I believe there's a bunch of Pro Bowlers that's going to come out at least definitely three rounds in this draft. No one's talking about it, but I guarantee you the scouts are going to be looking for it. They're going to be falling off the board a little bit in the first and definitely in the second round. You're going to see a bunch of offensive linemen just get picked. And I already know that. So I would trade those two third-round picks and see if I can get up into the second round and make sure if I had to get some of those picks. That's how I think it. I think we're going to go draft heavy on the O-line. And I love that pick because both players can play both the left and the right side of the tackle position. So just get your opinions on that.
There he goes. That's Ivan in Oakland, and definitely appreciate the call. And yeah, there's a lot of quality offensive linemen, and a lot of folks are talking about those guys. Actually, there's a really, really deep offensive line draft. I mean, it's going to be heavy. There might be like 9 or 10 guys drafted in the first round. I do think Darisaw is a good pick, but I think I could have made a better, more aggressive pick to also help out the defense. You know what I mean? Just because, again, the offensive line draft class is so deep, I probably could have drafted a really good one in the second round instead of going to get him in the first round and go try to get a difference maker in the first round. That's really my opinion. I think it was more of a safe pick. It's not like it was a bad pick. It was just a safe pick, you know? And I got myself in mind of start trying to think like the Raiders instead of just thinking like I should do. That's what I should have done. I should have taken my own advice and been aggressive. But again, that's just me. So thank you so much for that call. I definitely appreciate you, Ivan. Next up, I got a text from Sean in Sacramento out the 916. He says, "Hey, Q, Sean from Sacramento again. I was listening to your show today on the draft, and I got to say, I didn't see a scenario where Michael Parsons could fall to the Raiders. But I think if it's possible and he does fall, I'd really think long and hard about taking him. The offensive tackle in this draft are deep. Maybe Tevin Jenkins falls and we could trade back into the late first or even early second. I think the Raiders have been close to being a playoff team, but not hitting on draft picks has really hurt us. That ends now. Mayock and Gruden are going to go for it. Sleeve season to ring season, baby. God bless, Q." That's from Sean in Sacramento. And yeah, that's been my point, man. Like, again, I don't think the Darisaw pick was bad. I just think that I could have made one better and been more aggressive. And Micah Parsons was sitting there for me to draft, and I just didn't do it. I didn't take him, or I didn't take Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Instead, I took Christian Darisaw. So there you go. That's all me. Next up, I got a call from Raider Izzy. He's calling to talk about an element of the Gus Bradley defense and has a player in mind that he thinks should man a certain position in that defense. Here he is, Raider Izzy.
What up, Q? Raider Izzy. Want to talk about something I've been kind of digging into lately. Like I've talked about a couple times, like I've been trying to learn more and more about Bradley's system. And the one position I keep getting locked up on is the Sam linebacker position. Basically, so I can't find anybody on our roster that fits this spot. So basically when they first started this cover three defense really with Seattle back in the day, the Sam basically always lined up over the tight end, and you could argue he was the most important position on the team because obviously he had to run with the tight end, he had to, you know, seal the edge, all those things. And it kind of, as the tight end started to evolve, basically they turned into a two down position because they're not going to ask him to run with the tight end anymore with, you know, the Wallers and Kelsey's of the world out there. So this person really, like, is really supposed to seal the edge, but at the same time be able to kind of, you know, run around if need be. And to be honest with you, the only person on our roster right now that I see that would be good at this is Carl Nassib. And that, obviously that's not a perfect situation. So the reason I bring this up, though, is because people have brought up Clowney numerous times. You know, I'm with you. I don't necessarily want him, but he would be absolutely perfect for that position. Nobody seals the edge in the league better than him. But at the same time, on third downs, you can kind of kick him inside a little bit and kind of let him be part of the rotation. So just something to think about. I thought that was kind of interesting. But, yeah, just trying to figure out the position. But talk to you later, Q. Later.
There he goes. That's Raider Izzy calling in to talk about Jadeveon Clowney. And yeah, man, I'm way over it when it comes to Clowney. No thanks. He's just, for me, man, he's just too unreliable. You know, he can't stay on the field. He can't stay healthy. Yeah, he sets a good edge, but how many games are you going to get him for? You know what I mean? Like, he went on this big old tour last year or made a big to-do about where he was going to go, ended up with the Titans, only playing a handful of games. Didn't even register one sack. I mean, come on. I mean, I don't know. I'm over it. Now, if he comes in like on a veteran minimum, then that's one thing. But he's not going to do that. I mean, he still thinks he's a big-time edge rusher or a defensive end. I mean, he's not, you know. And apparently, according to Josina Anderson, he's actually visiting the Browns again today. So Cleveland may actually wrap up a deal with him anyway. But it's a pass for me when it comes to Jadeveon Clowney. I just don't think he has anything that the Raiders are looking for as far as want to, desire. He doesn't go to training camp. He always skips training camp for some reason. There's just some reasons, a lot of reasons, actually. I just don't like him. So I was kind of for it last year. I thought, give him a shot. But, you know, I'm glad that the Raiders didn't. I'm glad that they didn't end up signing him. And I'm fine if they stay far away from him anyway. I don't know. I'm just over him. Simple as that. So thanks for the call, though. I appreciate you. Next up, and the final text for the show is from Coach B. Say, what's up, Q? Coach B here again. Love the podcast, man. Keep up the great work. Just wanted to add some insight on the conversation about DC coming to the line and essentially saying, we're good, we're good. The reason he's saying this is because Gruden is giving him two plays in the call in the huddle. Then it's up to DC to decide which play to run based on the front coverage they're in. If he says we're good, they're running the first play call. If he says kill, kill, they run the second play. A lot of teams use this, and you can hear it a lot on the TV copy of the games. Some guys say can instead of kill. Point being, if you notice, the first year under Gruden, DC didn't have this ability anywhere near to what he had this past season. This, coupled with his play on the field, makes me believe that no matter what the media narrative may be about DC, he's going to be around for a while. Being a passing game coordinator myself for the team I coach, I have a quarterback that can diagnose and react to the defense at the line. Makes the coach's job so much easier. Essentially making the coach look like a genius because it seems like he's always calling the correct play. Anyway, keep doing you, Q. I think I speak for all the listeners when I say we appreciate you. Good luck to you on your quest to get to Las Vegas. That's from Coach B. And yeah, no doubt. You know, most teams give a couple plays in the huddle, and the quarterback has to go and decide if they're going to run the first one or not. You know, and then, or else, like you said, kill, 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 and get to the other one. But, I mean, he's able to. You can see it. You can really see that he has a lot of command of that offense and really understands what they're trying to do and what they need to do. And, you know, it's just he's getting better and better under Coach Gruden. So this year being year four under Coach Gruden, I mean, you should really see him continue to develop and get even better. But, yeah, you're absolutely right with, you know, breaking it down and you know, what the quarterback's freedoms are at the line of scrimmage and what they're not. So a lot of good stuff there, man. Definitely appreciate you. And that's all I got time for on today's show. Still got a couple text messages and a couple calls to get to. Nick in Orange County hit me up. Harper in Colorado. Got a call out of Houston. I'm not too sure of the name, but a call out of Houston. Raider Frodo sent in a text message. Got a lot of good stuff to get to, a lot of good feedback. So we'll be back tomorrow doing some more of that. Of course, more news and notes of the day. And, of course, more Raider conversation as we itch closer and closer and closer to that April 29th date of the NFL draft, the first round of the NFL draft that Thursday night. So until tomorrow, Raider Nation, be safe. Take care of your family. Do what you got to do. You know, wash your hands, wear your mask, social distance, you know, all that good stuff. Like I said, stay as healthy as possible. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.